going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owen Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. And we are dancing in the streets or wherever we're recording from. The vibes are sky high in Husker sky Nation high. Right now, and sky high on the Common Fan Podcast. Boys, the Nebraska Cornhuskers were a schoolyard bully on Saturday night. The boys in red smacked the Colorado Buffaloes in the face on the first series of the game and didn't let up for four quarters. We stuffed those guys in a locker. We were the aggressor. We were the nerds. The highly touted offense. They could never get on track, because the black shirts pushed those imposters all over the field. We broke their – I genuinely believe they gave up by the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
We broke their will, and they gave up, and that tells you everything you need to know about Colorado. But much more important than them, because we're done with Colorado now, and we are and always will be the superior program, and it's so nice to leave on that high note. We said it on the first episode of the year, guys. We said it all the way back in January, and we've been saying it all year. It's time to believe in Nebraska football again.
Ow!
And after last, we have the evidence. Nebraska football is back.
Yes.
We're back, baby.
We're ranked.
We're ranked.
We are ranked. 23.
We're ranked.
23 in the AP poll, 24 in the coaches poll.
Yeah.
First time since 2019.
What do you know? What do you say?
It just feels so great, guys.
Yeah,
it does. Really does. Yeah. I think a thank you is in order from you guys to me. I don't know if you noticed, but I brought back the stash for this purpose alone. So thank you.
That's what it was, for willing this game to victory.
Thank you to Geoff. Thank you.
What has the stash gotten us the last 7 years, Jeff?
I haven't had it the last 7 years. Okay.
Oh, that's really? The really? It's been that's over 7 years.
Yeah.
It's right. been off and on. I know this.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you've been asked not to come near at least four schools in Lincoln, and everyone knows that.
Well, no, now everybody, all the common fans know it wasn't the game plan. It wasn't our experience.
It wasn't Matt
amazing
Rule.
Frothing no. defense.
It wasn't the great fans. You know,
it wasn't the fans. It wasn't the atmosphere. Jeff. It was Jeff's mustache.
It was this dirt squirrel right here. That's what it was.
Well, everyone make sure to chime in and send us commonfangbr@gmail.com. Or maybe on Twitter or Facebook, send us a message and thank Jeff for being there for us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yep.
All right, guys, I got to do a couple ad reads real quick, and then we're going to get into all the finer points of this game, which was just thoroughly enjoyable from start to finish. Listen, Common fans, now that the season is well underway and the vibes in Husker Nation are sky high, don't wait to load up on certified Piedmontese beef for all your game watching and tailgating needs. Get 25% off beef purchased at cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. Certified Piedmontese is premium Nebraska beef, and they've got everything you need from steaks to burgers to ribs to beef brats, beef sausage, beef bacon, all the beef. Matty-O's got a look on his face like he wants some beef.
Give me some
beef. Stop by your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha, or get 25% off at cpbeef.com using promo code COMMONFAN. You can get certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. It doesn't get better than that. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. Also, now's the time to check out our website, www.commonfan.co. You're sitting at work in the middle of the day. You're thinking, I don't want to work. I want to think about the Huskers. You go to commonfan.co and you can keep up with all of our episodes, our written materials, and more. All the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Their team of experts provides top-notch solutions tailored to your needs. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with their team. They were very responsive and delivered high quality work. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. Gentlemen, this is so fun, guys. Hey. I'm like ready to jump in to the game summary, and this is better than when we had lost four games in a row to end the season last year.
That's just a little bit better.
This is way better.
Yeah, this feels good.
This is so much fun. Yeah.
We should have these more often.
We should do these all season long. We should keep doing this.
Yeah.
This is the second in a row now, and I'd like there to be many more. Mm-hmm. And I think there will be after last night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that certainly the direction of the Nebraska football program has changed dramatically since we started this podcast. I don't know that the numbers back it up the record-wise, but there's been a clear change, and we're going to take all the credit.
Oh, we deserve all the credit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good thing we got in when we did. You know, Coach Rule keeps saying things like last year's game had to happen so that this could happen.
Yeah.
That's kind of like we had to jump in then or else this wouldn't be happening now.
Touché.
So thank God the Common Fans started when we did. Yeah. Really, the way to think about that. Yeah. You're welcome, Husker Nation.
Yep.
All right. Game summary. I feel like all Husker fans are like flying high today and could probably see all this clear as day just as it happened last night. The first possession, I got to be honest with you guys. I was like nervous all day. I was super nervous. I talked to my brother before the game and I was like, I'm more nervous for this than probably any of the Big Ten games we're going to play. And I don't know why. Really? I think we'll get into this more later. Part of it felt like a win against Colorado was more important almost than some, even though we're going to play better teams.
Yeah.
It felt so important. Game two, a lot of hype around Coach Prime. Nobody really knows how good they really are, but we know they have these speedy playmakers. That was concerning me. Mm-hmm. It just felt like we had been in the spot before. Nationally televised game, second game in year two of a new coach that everyone's high on. Everyone's, you know, expecting the next step. And how many times have we been in that spot and then fallen short? And not just fallen short, but like tripped over our own appendage. You know what I'm saying? Like just completely fallen apart. Right.
Yep.
So to see that first possession of the game, like I was worried. I thought we were the better team and I thought we would win the line of scrimmage. But again, I was just worried. It only takes a few times of hitting Travis Hunter or what's his name? Jimmy Horn Jr. Or whoever it was. And Shadur, he showed last year, we got in the backfield all game last year. And sometimes we sacked him, but he got away a lot too. So I was just super nervous. Even if we controlled a lot of the game, how many of those big plays were they going to hit, you know, whatever. And man, like as the first half went on, it became so clear that it was just our night. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that first possession of the game, Ty Robinson gets in the backfield on the very first play, gets his hand on a pass. Then the next one, I think the Colorado receiver dropped it, but I don't think he had anywhere to go on the sideline.
Yeah.
And then didn't we sack Shadur on the
yeah,
on the third?
Ty Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, see, Ty Robinson was a beast. He was all over last night.
Yep.
So that was like, okay, here we go. Huskers get the ball back. We go down and score. It's like, okay, this couldn't be starting any better. Like, at least we're not having one of those starts where we fall apart from the start. And then pretty soon after that was the Tommy Hill pick six.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, like Shadur is human.
Yep.
That was a terrible, I don't know what he was doing there.
That was a bad throw.
Terrible decision.
It was a phenomenal play by Tom. Let's not take anything away.
Yeah.
That picture is probably the picture of the night of him like contorting his body to leap and catch the ball. And then he just walked into the end zone basically.
When was the last time we had a pick six? Like I was racking my brain last night to try and think.
I didn't read the sports page today, but on the front page of the sports page, it said first defensive touchdown since 2020.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
What do you know?
And I thought, wait a minute, didn't we score? But I remember we scored a touchdown last year, but it was on special teams. It was a field goal block. So that's technically a special teams touchdown.
Yeah.
Not a defensive touchdown.
Yeah. And I don't know what that game was in 2020, but we probably lost it.
We probably did.
Unlikely.
We probably did.
Let's be honest.
We probably did.
And also like that was one of many things that it felt like it always feels like this happens to us and we did them last night. Right.
Yeah.
And I would like to believe that's a turning of the page and we're going to start doing them much more often. Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. Always like, man, that was really bad. Like Colorado did not need that at that moment. And that was really bad news for them. And we were the ones doing it for once.
Yep. Yep.
And then you had the next scoring drive was Raiola moving around in the pocket and chucking the ball down the field and Jalen Lloyd making a great catch about 3 yards from the end zone. And then we punched it in and then,
that was one of those throws from Raiola that if your guy's not as talented as he is, you're going, no, no, no. What the hell are you doing? He's rolling to his right, throws cross body.
Cross his body. Yeah. Yeah. It's a no-no for most quarterbacks. So,
and there's not that many guys that can make that throw.
That's
yeah. Anyway, on. Sorry to interrupt you. That was
no. You are exactly right. And then our last, let's just talk about the end of the first half here, because this is again another thing that I feel like we're the ones who usually do this, and we were the aggressor last night. So we punted. Where are we here? We score that touchdown to make it 21-0. Also, we had a missed field goal in there. We need to talk about, but
yes.
So we didn't let it, like we didn't fall apart afterward. Right.
Sure.
Right.
Yep.
And so we score to make it 21-0. And then let's see, where am I looking here, guys? I just want to make sure I don't screw this up. So then Colorado like puts together they put together a little drive, 63 yards, and they take 3 minutes off the clock, 9 plays, and they hold on. Did we block this field goal? Was that the blocked field goal? No, yeah, block.
This was the fourth
block field goal. That was a blocked.
Oh, that wasn't the fourth down.
Yeah, also blocked by Ty Robinson, total beast, by the way.
Yes.
So we get the ball with I think under 4 minutes left at that point, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, when we talked about this last year so many times. The last 4 minutes of the first half, the first 4 minutes of the second half, just hold on. I don't care if we score, we're up 21-0. Don't, I mean, try to move the ball, try to do something, but do no harm. Don't give them the ball back.
I think it was even less time than that, TJ. I think it was like, I don't even know if there was 2 minutes on the clock when we got it the last time before half.
Oh, well, this is the time before that. So we go three and out. That's okay. That's good. So we go three and out, which is super frustrating because we had a five yard run on the second and five. And then we threw it and missed the throw. And then it was like, it says incomplete. And then it says third and six. Anyway, went three and out, give Colorado the ball back. So then I'm thinking like, oh, geez, here we go. Okay. 21-7 won't be that bad or 21-3 won't be that bad. And then we force a punt and we get the ball back. And then we went three plays in 70 yards and scored a touchdown. And that was a little bit of, that's when it was like, this is our night. And in fact, I have buddies who are not Nebraska fans texting me like, it's just your night. Because
because didn't we score off of Ramirez's weird like tipped pass thing that
happened? Yes.
It wasn't like a tipped pass into his hands.
Should have been intercepted.
Things were all going our way. It was incredible.
It was so great. And then they Colorado, you know, didn't have much time. They tried that like 800-yard field goal that didn't quite get there to end the half. I want to get into the second half in a minute, but like just some other highlights from the first half, guys. We really pounded the ball. We pounded the rock really well. And on, I'm trying to remember if it was the, I think it was the first scoring drive. Like we were just running the ball up the gut and Dante Dowdell was getting what, 10, 12 yards a carry. And that's what he scored on one of those, I think. And so just everything was clicking. I felt like we were, the defense did, but it felt like we were just going to push them around all night. It felt like we were going to win by the beginning of the third quarter. I thought we were going to win 56-0.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just completely dominated. I will say, guys, it's funny. It's like as we talk about this team moving into a new era and turning the page and hopefully moving into a better era of Nebraska football. I feel like as fans, I've got like 1 foot in the future that we believe is very bright. And I'm trying to pull this other foot up from where we've been, because there was like half the time that like, I didn't love all the like first down bubble screens or like we might throw an incompletion. And I'm thinking to myself, we're pushing them around, just run it every time. And then Dylan would make some great throw or some great play. And I'd be like, it's so great to have a quarterback who can pass. You know, it's like totally contradicting myself the whole time.
Back and forth.
I don't know about you guys. It's just like, I feel like I was like hyperventilating as a Husker fan in general, just like desperately wanting things to go right and critiquing the smallest things and celebrating the smallest things and just losing my mind in general.
Right. Yeah. Well, and even when it was like 28-3, like we still have been bitten so bad and so hard over the years. Like it was 28-3.
Never
and like,
anything out.
There was a couple moments in the stadium where it was like, okay, like I can feel everybody getting a little bit nervous, even though we're up 25.
Right.
And it's been a little more tough sledding on offense and the refs and all that. But the defense just kept slamming the door shut, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think that defense is better than last year.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, I think so too.
You know, and they were really good last year.
Yeah.
Well, we have 4 sacks before halftime. 4 sacks and an interception before halftime.
Yeah.
Damn. And you know that this the total the 6 sacks total for the game. It like honest to God, like just being at the game, not looking at the stat sheet, it felt like more than that.
It did.
I thought so too.
And I don't know if it's the stat keeper or whatever, because it felt like there was a couple times where Shadur started to scramble and still tackled for a loss, and it's like, okay, wait a minute, I remember that certain play, did they call that a sack? Because I felt like Prince Will should have had at least 2 sacks and he got credit. Like there was all six sacks were from different guys, and I felt like Prince Will should have at least 1.5 or 2 sacks, and he just had 1. But yeah, it felt like more than 6 sacks. Like it felt like at like 10-12 sacks. But you know, some of that I think is just pressure and hurrying Sanders and him throwing the ball away or whatever it might be. But they were in the backfield all night long.
I can tell you many Common fans have rewatched or will rewatch that game in the coming week. So they can let us know, Common fans. Let us know what you saw.
Yeah. Somebody give us a sack count.
Count up the sacks, please, and let us know. Speaking of that second half, Matteo, you mentioned it. We don't have to go. I'm not sure what we would go through. It was just sloppy. We came out and went 3-and-out. I was like, didn't need that kind of thing. And then I think they had a big pass right away on their first possession. You know, as it turned out, we didn't have a lot to worry about with their offense. They had 10 points in the second half. But, you know, the D continued to dominate for the most part. The offense wasn't great. And then there was the penalties got out of control, and that was kind
four
of
on a, one drive.
Some of those were on us. Like some of those were real. Like they showed the replays. Like dang it, it was the on the Ramir Johnson touchdown that got called back. That was Ben Scott, and he tackled the guy. I mean, he absolutely held the guy. But on the one before that, the Ja'Cory Barney, I think it was a little pass. I don't think it was a handoff. It was a little pass to Ja'Cory Barney, and he went over 50 yards. And they called holding on Ramir.
And that was
the
a
announcers
bullshit
were like,
call.
He just blocked the guy.
He blocked the guy into the ground, and they called holding on him.
And candidly, the play somewhere in there, I think it was the play after that, they called a roughing the passer on Colorado, and that was not, they were like, that's not roughing the passer. Like, it was just like these, they suddenly decided to insert themselves into the game, and it was just more annoying than anything. It didn't make me panic a lot that things were going to get out of control, or like some of them worked in our favor, but it was just like, stop it. You guys are terrible.
It's just a horrible watch. Like, just as a football fan, like removing yourself, your like fanatic part of being a Husker fan. Like, if you're watching that game, you'd be like, good God, there's been like 8 flags in the last 4 plays. Like, I'm going to turn it to a different game because I don't want to watch this anymore. It's they're flag happy.
Yeah. And Matty-O, you were there, Matty-O. Geoff, you watched on TV, right?
I did. Yes.
And Matt, you've rewatched it for the most part too.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
Was it me or was the NBC official, you know, replay official consultant wrong on like all of his assessments? He kept saying what he thought would happen and then the opposite would happen on the field. And I think honestly, for most of the replays, what happened on the call on the field was correct and he was not correct. Like, who is the guy?
I'm convinced.
Terry McCauley, I think is the guy's name. Yeah, rules analyst.
Yeah, rules analyst.
Totally. He's a very poor man's Mike. Oh, what's the guy's name? Mike Pereira.
Yeah.
Terry McCauley he peaked at reffing Lincoln midget football games.
I'll tell you this, Terry McCauley can't even sniff Dean Blandino's jock.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. It's not even fair to bring Dean's name into this whole conversation.
No. We're going to talk about DB in that way.
No, that's right. That's right. Sorry, GF, were you going to say something there?
No, I was going to say it just seems like Terry doesn't know what the hell a targeting penalty is because he would call it one way on one call and then say the exact opposite thing on the next call. And it was just frustrating as hell to watch that on TV because, as you said, a midget football coach could get out there and probably make some better call or make some better clarifications of what we were seeing on the field. It just made no sense.
Yeah.
The broadcast and so, was kind of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. While we're on the topic, let's just be totally petty and mean. Colt McCoy is not good.
Yeah. No.
He seems like a nice guy, too. And I'm sure
he's a nice guy. But you know, I don't know what NBC was thinking. I mean, they did like some test runs, right? Like they're doing like old games or fake games, and he's having to provide commentary to show him he knows what he's doing.
Or at least like listen to someone talk before
it was bad.
First game yips. Is that
my wife?
I think he was having, I want to hear that, Matty-O. I think he was having PTSD watching Shadur get thrown around the field.
And he's having,
the last time we did that so aggressively to an opposing quarterback was Colt McCoy in 2009.
Thinking about Sue throwing him around like a rag doll.
If they actually could show him in the booth, he was in the fetal position, like under the desk, like shivering, making call.
Sorry, Matty-O, what were you saying before we just?
Oh no, I was just going to say my wife watched the game on TV and she was pretty proud of herself. She doesn't usually watch a game from start to finish, but she did. She said she couldn't stop watching, which is, I think, a testament to Matt Rhule and the boys. So we got a good football team going here. But
absolutely.
So I talked to her about it this morning, and she said, I was watching the broadcast and I actually thought to myself, did these guys calling the game win some sort of contest where the prize was that they got to call a Saturday night NBC game? And I was like, I had watched some of it before talking to her about it. And I'm like, God, it sure seems like it.
NBC,
I mean, Colts, like his delivery was just very monotone, very dry. And then he just seemed so dang nervous. Like I felt kind of bad for him a few times. Like what a dumb comment. Like, why would you say something like that? So NBC, yeah, it was a rough broadcast.
Making dreams come true. NBC making dreams come true for the average common fan.
Yeah, the NBC, my wife commented on the halftime show and how unimpressed she was with the halftime show.
Oh, so there was a
halftime show?
No, I mean the NBC halftime crew.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
But she was not impressed with the studio crew or the crew at the.
Is Chris Sims? I think Chris Sims is on that.
No, he wasn't.
No,
it was Nicole Auerbach and three people I didn't know. Or
at least you don't have to deal with Jason Garrett like you did for the entire Irish game. Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
Well, you redheads should like a guy like that. You know, he's one of your people.
Nobody cares, Jeff.
Shut up, right? I don't ruin this for me. This is the only part of the weekend that actually worked out well for me. Don't ruin this for me.
I won't ruin anything. Since you
All
brought it
right.
up, hats off to Northern Illinois just playing the game of their life. No, somebody, where did I see or hear? Somebody, this is not my original line. I can't remember where I saw or heard this, but somebody said the reason college football is different from the NFL is because every weekend somewhere, guys are playing in a game they're going to remember the rest of their life. And hats off to Northern Illinois for having that game on Saturday.
You
Yeah.
stink, son of a
And
bitch.
I
Did you
think
see
they
their
made
coach after the game? He was emotional.
it
He was
was so
crying.
cool.
It was
And
so
they
beautiful.
made by the end of the
Oh,
season.
I'm glad you guys are so happy for them.
By the end of the
I'm so
season,
glad.
by the end of the season, we may be like, this wasn't that big of a deal. Notre Dame's not even the top 25 anymore. But for now, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
You
they, I
know?
mean, they might not make a bowl game.
No, I know. I'm a
Oh,
little
you
bit.
know what? I just forgot that Jeff's a half Notre Dame fan. I just
Oh,
forgot, Jeff.
I
I'm
hadn't even,
sorry.
yeah. Oh,
Hadn't even thought
okay.
about that. Hadn't even thought
Okay.
about that.
Well, that's fine. I'll
Right.
take the high road. Me and my mustache will take the high road. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're
Back to the game.
welcome.
Back to the game summary.
Yeah, we went
Mustache
off
boy.
there on a little tangent.
That's okay. And sorry, I thought I was going to move on to hit the high points, but I thought of one other thing I wanted to say. The defense dominated. So, like, the defense basically won. You know, they didn't let it get out of hand. But the other thing, the offense was not great. But they did a few things that was like, okay, I'm not sure we would have even done that in the past. In particular, I'm thinking of we got the ball back with about 6 minutes left in the third quarter, and we held the ball for the rest of the quarter. We obviously did not score because we didn't score in the second half, but we went from basically mid third quarter to punting on the first play of the fourth quarter, I think it was. That is not insignificant. That is how you win some of these games.
Sure.
You have a big lead. You keep the ball away from
Yeah,
the other
keep away.
team.
Yep.
You don't let Shedeur Sanders make some magic play. So suddenly it's 28, you know, suddenly it's a two-score game going into the fourth quarter or something. That was not insignificant.
I agree.
I would have liked to have seen us score some points. Again, it got a little messy there. I hope some of the takeaways are like, well, this was kind of a one-off thing because of maybe there was some conservative play calling to protect the lead
So
combined with the penalties, whatever. But
I
that was
know
not insignificant. Go ahead, Jeff.
that's something I was just curious about that too. I brought that up last night that I know Matt Rhule, because Matt Rhule said that, you know, Riola's going out there. They're not gonna baby him. They're gonna put him out there and let him do his thing. And no matter what the score of the game is, their game plan was gonna stay the same. I know he'd never tell the fan base this, but do you think they kind of let their foot off the gas a little bit in the second half? And maybe that's a reason that we didn't see.
100%.
You think
Yeah,
so? And just
I
we
think
wanted
I
to
just
preserve
think they
that
went in,
lead.
I think they went
Play it
into the
safe.
hey, we're up three plus scores mode.
Yep.
Like, we don't have
Yeah.
to prove anything else here. Like, let's just run. And really, I
Grind
think it
this thing
started
out and
when
get out of here with W.
you just mentioned about midway through the third quarter or so, TJ. Like, at that point, like, I'm in the stadium, it felt like I'm sitting there going, they're taking this clock down pretty damn far every single time before
Yeah.
we even snap it. Like, we're just milking clock here.
Yeah, no, so the only thing I agree, yes, I agree with
And
Matt.
the run game seemed pretty vanilla.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the play calling was pretty vanilla. I mean, there was a
Well, I
couple
think what,
times where we kind of felt like, okay, maybe we should try to punch one more in here. And
and
so they
maybe some
dialed it
of,
up a little bit,
yeah,
but
maybe some of it was the high of the first half. I guess I would hope that even though we're dialing it back and being vanilla, we couldn't really run the ball in the second
yeah.
half. So that's what was disappointing.
Yeah, I
Like
hear you.
they know, they probably knew we were going to do that. Like they're probably, you know, taking away the run more than the pass in that instance, but I was really disappointed with our lack of ability to run the ball, even when they know we're
Yeah.
going to do it. Like the whole point there is, yeah, you do become more conservative. You do try to run the clock, but the best way to do that is to run the ball successfully and keep getting first downs. And we weren't
Sure.
doing that very much. And that was
Yeah.
really
Right.
frustrating. But again, there could be some one-off things there where maybe like we got ultra conservative with some of the play calls. Maybe again with the penalties, obviously there was two big plays there that got negated by penalties, and so it's maybe a mixed bag. But we'll wait till we get into it, sort of questions and areas of concern. But I would have liked to, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from this veteran offensive line, but we'll get there. Keeping it on the positive, let's hit the high points, boys. I'd love to hear what you guys have. The first one I have won't surprise you guys. It's defense, defense. Defense.
Yes.
Mekhi Bayer, John Bullock, total beasts at the linebacker
Dogs.
spot. I had a buddy, Shout out to associate producer Dr. Weber. He texted me, he said, somehow Tony White has turned John Bullock into Levante David.
And then, he looked like him last night.
He looked like a beast.
Yeah.
Ty Robinson looks like a man among children out there. He's a giant and he just dominates.
Michael Sevier was right, man. He talked about that. He said, I can't wait to watch this defense just have their way.
He said that during the North Dakota State game.
Yeah. And he was spot on because they did that entire game. They just had their way with them. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Beast.
Nash, Jamari Butler. I mean, they were all these, they were just flying around. They were all over the field. They tackle well. They fly to the ball. They were in the backfield all night long. The other takeaway I had, guys, with regard to the defense, in addition to hounding Shadur all night, like when he did, sometimes he did get away and then it was like, oh no, he's got time to throw now. Like he'd break off and then suddenly there'd be nobody there and it'd be like, oh geez, what's he going to pull out of his hat? It looked like, and Matty, you were there. Maybe you had a different perspective. It looked like he didn't have anybody to throw to several times.
Yeah.
It seemed like our defensive backs were keeping up just fine with their you know, trio or more of big receivers.
Yep.
Yeah, I haven't looked at, you know, the Colorado receiving numbers, but I did see a tweet that said Jimmy Horn Jr. only had like 2 catches for 24 yards or something.
I saw that.
I don't think you can't lock down Travis Hunter. Like he's that good. He's so good. Like he even had he probably had 5 or 6 catches, and I think several of them on Tommy Hill, who's probably going to be a first or second round draft pick at this point. And they said
Hunter ended up with over 100 yards.
Yeah. So you're not going to hold that guy in check. But if you hold Horn in check and Shepard and these, a couple of these other speedsters, like you got a pretty damn good shot to win. And I thought the DBs did a really, really good job of coverage. But that's what you can do when you're getting pressure with 4 guys.
Yes.
Like we've blitzed. I saw Mitch Sherman tweet, I think it's only 7% of our defensive plays were blitzes, were called blitzes. So there must have been a lot more this week, because I think that was combined for week 1 and week 2. And we didn't blitz at all against UTEP. So we threw a few more blitzes in against CU, but it sure felt like we were getting pressure with 3 or 4 guys whole night.
Every other play, I felt like we were just running him down. And I remember screaming at the TV, I'm like, that's all you have to do to disrupt this guy is just make him uncomfortable. You don't even necessarily have to sack him, but just get in his grill, get up on him. And it showed, like, he couldn't complete passes. And if he did complete a pass, our defense was there to at least hopefully take him down right then and there and not let him break a big one off.
Yeah. And that's where it's so huge to have those 2 guys in the middle, Nash and Ty. I mean, those 2 guys probably should be double teamed every single play. Yeah. I mean, the offensive lines are going to look at that. Like, which guy do we double team? We can't double team both of them.
I was going to say, if you only had one of them, they would try to double team that guy every play, right?
Yeah. And then, all of a sudden we've got these pass rushers, man. Like, how long since we've had pass rushers like this? You got Prince Will getting after the quarterback. Cam Lennart's getting after the quarterback. MJ Sherman coming up from linebacker spot. I think he got a sack. And then you could bring in the guy like that lanky James Williams on a 3rd and long, and he's coming around speed rushing off the edge. It's just real. It's so fun to have guys that can get after the quarterback. And that makes such a big difference.
Well, and it's so, we talked about this last year too, because Rule, I mean, they flipped that defense first thing, but it feels like all is right with the world again, because a Nebraska football team should always be good at defense. And some years the offense will be better than other years, but that a Nebraska football team, Nebraska should be a defense first program. It should be built on physical, defensive minded team and culture. And that's what Matt Rule, Sevier, back to a friend of the program, Michael Sevier, told us. That's what Matt Rule's teams will always play good defense. And that, like, I love hearing that. I love having a coach that prioritizes that, because that is what Nebraska football is all about. And that's exactly what we've seen from Coach Rule. And like I said, like, we'll see when we get into Big Ten play, but it's a lot of the same guys as last year, but it's their second year in the system. They're bigger, faster, stronger after another year. This defense and some of these younger guys taking it, like Mekhi Bayer taking a step forward. It looks like we're going to be better than last year.
Yeah.
On D.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a super encouraging thing too. The point you just made about, like, you know, last year, I don't remember hearing MJ Sherman's name being called a whole lot, or
Yeah.
Mekhi Bayer. This is his third year. I think it's third year
Yeah.
on the roster,
Yeah.
and really you would only see him on special teams and stuff like that. All of a sudden, the guy is playing at like an all conference level.
There
Like,
was an awesome you're exactly right on Bear, but there, on speaking of MJ Sherman, there, I can't remember when in the game it was, but Shadour, like, we had him dead to rights and he got away. And it was like, damn it, there he goes. And then MJ Sherman still sacked him. Do you, I
yeah.
don't know if you remember that. It was so sweet.
Ran him down after the fact.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Speaking of the defense, real quick, guys, Tony White's defense currently ranks number 5 in rushing defense in the country, number 24 in total defense nationally. And then we're tied for number 6 and tie in sacks and tied for number 8 in tackles for loss. Those are both national numbers as well. So just reinforcing. And you know, I always love looking at that stuff. Just love seeing Nebraska on those lists, you know,
Oh, yeah.
love seeing what other people are saying about Nebraska. So I would imagine next week after Northern Iowa, maybe we'll even climb some of those national lists before we get into conference play. So that's super exciting.
Well, and you get like you meant just real quick. It's fun to see like national college football prognosticators, journalists, what have you,
Oh yeah.
talking about Nebraska in a positive light.
Yes.
Like, I never really liked Stuart Mandel. I
I
think he
was
was
just
with
I know what you're gonna
SI for
say.
a
I know what
while.
you're gonna say.
He
Yeah.
said, I'm all here. He tweeted, I'm all here for 10 win Nebraska.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fun last night, like just logging into like X and scrolling through my feed. And like it didn't even matter if it was people I followed. Like everywhere I looked, I just saw Nebraska Cornhusker like curb stomping Colorado type posts that were just everybody was just not just Husker fans either, just like national pundits just fawning over us. And it was awesome to see, like everywhere I looked. It was
It was
great.
fun. It
Yeah.
was fun to see even
Fun.
before the game. I can think of at least a USC one and an Oregon one, and there were probably more that were basically like, we're all Huskers tonight. Like
Yeah. Yeah.
everybody was
Solidarity.
pulling for Nebraska, and
Yep.
everybody was loving what we were doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's
Okay,
an
what else did what
odd
else?
feeling, an odd feeling, boys,
Wait,
to
I'm
have this
feeling.
national
Yeah, it
support.
really is. You know what else I've got? I'm sure we'll say this again. Sorry, Matthew. Like, you thought we were annoying before when we were good?
Just
Like,
wait.
just wait till
Just
Nebraska's
wait.
back. Wait till we go on that
Yeah.
comeback
Just
tour.
wait till we come back.
You're gonna be so
Oh,
annoying. Come
God.
back
All
from the
these
dead.
inseparable dudes from the 90s that were annoying, man. They're
Exactly.
old now and they're
Yeah.
even worse.
Exactly. Yeah. A
Exactly.
little older, a little wiser, a little bit more smarmy. Just wait.
What else you guys got for hit the high points?
I got a high point. So it was in the first quarter, it was 7-0. And we were coming down. It looked like we might get some points again, but drive stalled. I don't remember what happened. And my dog Brian Buscini, the Boosh man, had one of his Boosh boots and pinned those
Boosh,
suckers down to
Boosh
like the
boots.
second or the 2 or 3 yard line. And
Yeah.
that can't be overstated how big that was, because the play after that, or the two plays after that, was Tommy Hill's pick six. And Shadour's thrown out of his own
Right.
end zone.
Right,
So
right, right.
when I was thinking, watching the whole game, I'm like, gosh, Buscini really seems like he's on right now. Like, I don't want to jinx him, but
Buscini looked great last night. He looked fantastic.
I thought he punted the ball really, really well. He didn't hurt us. I know that. I mean, he had a couple 50 plus yarders, I think, and that one where we pinned him down, we score on the pick six. Like, Buscini was great. He is not at all, in my opinion, a concern. In terms of we're talking special teams now, field goal kicking game,
Yeah.
that's a different thing. That's a concern. But the punt game, we're looking pretty good, boys.
Yeah,
We're looking pretty good in the
I
punt game.
completely agree.
That was a
That's a
huge,
great.
huge kick by Buscini
Yeah.
to pin him down
Yeah.
there. And really, I think a turning point in the game as a whole
Oh yeah.
too. I mean, that pick six,
That
guys,
changed the
that might
entire
have been
dynamic of the game.
the
Oh
loudest I've
yeah.
heard that
I couldn't
stadium.
imagine.
That was louder than Miami in 2014. That was louder than Oregon 2016 for me. That's
Yeah.
that specific moment. And there were multiple moments in that game where I was like, holy crap, this is might be the loudest game I've ever been to at Memorial
Yeah.
Stadium.
Yeah. That's
That's
awesome.
awesome.
In Geoff, any high points?
Actually, I mean, for once, like you said, TJ, it was nice. Just the offense as a whole, things that normally would go wrong for us in a game, we were doing to other people. So the Tommy Hill pick six. That never happens anymore. That was awesome. Ramir and just the miraculous tipped pass to him to end the half with a touchdown. Yes. Things like that just do not happen to the Husker Nation as we have known it in the past.
Those and things happen against us. Like
exactly.
The Ramir thing would be totally something that would happen to us.
Mm-hmm. And so it was just so great. And to see that just play out the way it did, like it was a good, like finally we had some good luck for once. It was just nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I had a couple more guys, unless if you have more,
no,
jump in.
But, you go ahead, General.
So first of all, I had Raiola shines again.
Yeah,
I thought he looked better than Shadur. You wonder. I'm gonna keep wondering this probably when we get into conference play too. But it's like he's 19. Like you would forgive him for blinking. Right.
Yeah.
And under the big lights.
Yep.
And he really didn't do that. He looked fantastic. I mean, we've got a guy, right? We've got a dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just super. I feel like we're probably gonna be able to spend every episode just talking about how great he is. And so like,
I mean, well, even TJ on, there was two or three broken plays. And I don't know whose fault it was. You couldn't really tell. One of the plays, it looked like Ben Scott just snapped the ball too early.
Yeah.
But he didn't panic. You know, he turns and there's no one to hand it off to. And he's like, I'm just going to try to get back to the line of scrimmage and get down. Yeah. Like, I love that. Yeah. He wasn't like, I'm going to try to get outside and take this to the house, or I'm going to look and see if there's a man open. No, just take the no gain or 1 yard loss and go to the next play.
Yeah. Well, and there was even one that he threw it away. And I think it was a first down pass call. So I was frustrated. And then Colt McCoy, even though he just bagged on him, made the point, like, that's a great decision by a freshman quarterback to throw it away and do no harm there. And I was like, oh, yeah, right. Good.
Yeah,
good job,
Dylan.
Way to go. Yeah, that's what of course, Colt. That's what I was going to say, Colt.
Dynamite drop in, Colt.
I was going to say,
that broadcast school is really paying off.
That's what it sounded like to me is that, he had to, was that Major League Two where he had to, Monty actually had to take the reins? He's like, fly ball.
Caught.
Yes. That's Major League Two. That's so good. And then the only other thing I was going to say is Dante Dowdell looked like a beast.
Yes, he did.
So I love Emma Johnson. Emma Johnson didn't get a chance to show a lot last night. I only bring that up because I was way out there on saying he was going to be the guy this year. I think I was wrong, and that's okay. Dowdell looks like he's got the combination of size and speed. Yeah. With a hat tip to Ramir Johnson. It's so great to see Ramir be part of the team's success after he's been through injuries. He's been there since 2019. He's been, he's one of these older guys who's been around since forever. So awesome to see that. So it looks like that running back room is kind of taking shape. Dowdell and Ramir is kind of your top two guys. We thought after last week, it might be Dowdell and Emmett. So we'll see. I mean, we didn't see any of Gabe Urban at all. But right now it looks like Dowdell and Ramir, and they're kind of a nice, Ramir's a little smaller. He's a little shiftier. He'd catch the ball out of the backfield, which he did several times last night. So love seeing that. I just love seeing the running back room take shape. We'll see I'm sure they'll all have their moments this year where they play a role, but Dowdell, coming back to my point, Dowdell looks like a dude. He looks like a Big Ten Bulldog.
Yeah. But Dowdell's the guy, but I wouldn't be surprised, guys, if next week we see a heavier dose of Emmett and Gabe against Northern Iowa. Like, I think Dowdell and Ramir, just judging by who got the most snaps and carries and touches last night, I think Dowdell and Ramir are kind of the two guys we want to have going regularly. But I wouldn't be surprised against a, let's face it, an inferior opponent next week, if Emmett and Gabe maybe get a few more carries than the other two guys, give them a little bit of a breather.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Fair They're enough. Fully capable.
Well,
fully
and capable. We got Northern Iowa coming to town next week, FCS school. I fully expect a win. I feel like the recent history of Husker football would teach us not to say that. Not only do I expect a win, like I hope it's another one of those UTEP, all the starters are getting a breather by early second half.
Yeah.
Because then we get into conference play. It's going to be a slog, and we know it's those snaps add up over the course of a season. And so if we can get those guys rest now, it matters later, right? So
yeah, totally.
Okay, boys. What did we learn from this game?
I would say the one main takeaway I took away from this was the moment is never going to be too big for Dylan. I feel like
I love that.
We got a lot of big games this year. Don't kid yourself. And there's going to be some tougher teams, but this was the first one. And that's just a lot of pressure to put on a young man. But we found out immediately just from the get-go that the moment isn't too big for him. So I feel like at least going forward, I have the confidence of knowing that it may be a big game, but he can handle it. And I think we're going to be okay. We may not win every game, but he's going to lead us. And I liked what I saw from him last night. So the moment's never going to be too big for that kid.
Love that.
It's a good take, Jeff.
Yeah. Mattio, anything on that front, Mattio?
You know, I don't know that I learned. I mean, that's a good one. I don't know that I learned a whole lot other than that I didn't already kind of think.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that the defense is even better than I thought they were even just a week ago.
Yeah.
You've got for sure two NFL players on that Colorado offense, maybe three. The new left tackle, Jordan Seaton, is a true freshman. He's probably, I mean, as high as he was rated in recruiting rankings, decent shot. He ends up being in the pros. Like that's not UTEP. That's not, I mean, people are going to make cracks about Colorado's not even any good, which was weird. Anyway, I'm getting off track here, but you say these comments about how Colorado's not that good. They probably won't even win five games, but then also the same people saying how impressed they were with Nebraska. So it's like, I don't know how often I've seen that where like people are impressed with Nebraska and how they won, but then also at the same time kind of discounting it and saying Colorado's not that good in the first place. But they are. They're talented. I don't know that they're a well-run team.
Right.
If that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, so just the way that they played against those really, really good athletes and rose to the challenge. And like Jeff said, not just Raiola, the whole team playing a primetime game. Like I said, previewing this one, guys, like primetime games have not been kind to us for years, right. Especially on national TV.
Yeah.
So that I felt like that was part of like the release that a lot of these Husker fans were feeling through this whole game last night too, was like, holy shit, we showed up and we're ready to play ball and played our butts off.
And we
on national TV.
Some good primetime games, some big slots, but I feel like this game, there was a shit ton of eyeballs on this one. I mean, this is for two unranked teams. People just tune in to watch prime and they want to see, and people love them. People hate them. They want to watch them. So we had more eyeballs than ever on us last night. And that was great to see us shine with the entire world watching.
I'd be curious to know what the viewership was for the game last night. How many people gutted out the terrible broadcast team?
I'm sure there's a way to Google that or something. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Mine piggybacks on pretty much both of yours, but mine is Nebraska's ready to turn a corner this year. Like we're absolutely, I don't think I'm jinxing anything. We're absolutely getting to a bowl game. The ceiling might be a lot higher than that, guys. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, to your point, maybe Mattio, was that you? What?
Sorry about that, guys.
That's okay. No worries. Maybe we're going to end up 7-5 or 8-4. Like maybe we still stub our toe. Whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to declare that we're playoff bound. No one, I'm not sure what's going on with Mattio.
Sorry. Computer's batteries running low.
Oh, yes. God. Oh, God. Wow. Oh, wow.
There you go. Sorry. Wow. Still sharing sound there.
Good Lord. Apologies, listeners, if you just got your eardrums blown out. But again, like Chattel, I think, made this point in his column after the game that a loss like would have like set us back and kept us in the same place. I think this goes back to my point earlier where I was more nervous about this game than most of the other games we're going to play. Yeah. A loss would have kept us in the same place where Matt looks frozen. A loss would have kept us in the same place. But a win feels like, even though we're going to play better teams. Okay. Sorry about that. Common fans.
Sorry, guys.
Technical difficulties on that. We're not going to blame Mattio.
No, it's me. I'm going to own it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely your
fault. You should own it. I'm going to
own it. A real man owns it. That was me. Okay. I had the laptop plugged in.
Plug your laptop in.
I had it plugged in, but it wasn't this thing. My 2016 laptop has this charger. This part wasn't plugged in, guys, to the little battery pack.
I see.
All right. Okay. And again, I mean, 2016, get a new laptop. It's fine, though. It's fine.
I like this one. It's like an old classic Chevy.
All right. I was trying to make a point. No problem. Apologies, common fans. Nebraska is ready to turn a corner this year. And this goes back to the point that we've made since the beginning of the year, that it's time to believe in Nebraska football again. Now, I don't know what that means for our final record. I don't know if that means we're going to stub our toe a couple of times in Big Ten play or not, but the trajectory for the first time ever, like, it feels like the trajectory is in the right place, and it doesn't feel like it's held together, MacGyvered together by chewing gum and paper clips, right? Like, even in, I remember feeling in 2016, this is fun. We're 7-0 in 2016 going into Wisconsin. And I actually thought we were going to win that Wisconsin game too, but like, it doesn't feel like we're a top 10 team. We might be a top 25 team, but we're not a top 10 team.
Yeah.
And then Frost, like, I actually believed, I guess, going into 2019 that it was real. But then very quickly, it was like, this doesn't look right. This doesn't pass the smell test, all these things. Like, we can see it. We can rest easy in the knowledge that our team is better and it's going to continue getting better. And so, like, this is the year we turn the corner. I think we still could have done all of that with a loss to Colorado, but the win and the way that we won really cements it. And I think part of the reason it cements it for me, we will play better teams, but part of the reason it cements it for me is because I don't think Colorado's that great. And that's what we should do to that team. Mm-hmm. They're probably somewhere between a 5-7 and a 7-5 team in the Big 12. So they're okay. And plenty of those types of teams have beat us in recent years.
Yeah.
And we just stomped on them. I mean, we just destroyed them. And so that, I think that's where and they have some play, but we will play again, better teams, better lines, better defenses, all those things. But this just felt so good for so many reasons. And I think we're going to go into, I mean, Ohio State is going to be tough. USC is looking much more like the real deal than I gave them credit for. Mm-hmm. So we'll see with those two games, but I would say this defense can keep us in any game that we play. And I feel at this moment, Wisconsin looks underwhelming. Iowa. I don't know if anybody noticed Iowa lost on Saturday.
Yeah. Did you know that Iowa lost? And unfortunately for them, they also were exited the top 25.
They're not in
we,
the top
Nebraska,
25
us, we, yeah. we, the, top, the royal, we won. And then they put us into the top 25. That, so we went into the top 25, Iowa exited.
So what you're saying is Nebraska's in the top 25. Neither Iowa nor Colorado can be found there.
They are not
they
cannot
there. Be they're nowhere to be found in the top 20.
No. Somehow Notre Dame is still ranked. I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
Watch your mouth. Watch your damn mouth.
Doesn't
right?
make sense to me. Home loss to Northern Iowa.
Northern Illinois.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Northern Russ. Anywhere. Tell me a good college football team that starts with Northern.
Anyway. So it just like it just feels like again it's time to believe in Nebraska football again, and we can for some of the defense, Dylan Raiola, Matt Rhule, all the things, all the reasons. Yeah. Okay, real quick, guys. We should probably reorder. I wonder if we should reorder this. We always end on our questions and our areas of concern. Maybe we should do those first before we get into all the hype and the positive. But one very obvious one, guys, and then I'm curious if you have any others beyond this is. Special teams for me.
Me too.
Mostly the kicking game. I mean, the blocked field goal was annoying and it was a chance to pin them back and we didn't do it, but it didn't like, unless that starts happening regularly, it could be just a one-off thing. Maybe we lost. I don't know. I'm not as worried about the blocked field goal. It'd be nice to have a kicker who's kicking it through the end zone because we had a couple, had a couple returns that made it easy, right?
Yep.
But most importantly, and most like I have the least patience for category is the missed field goal.
Yeah, for sure.
We were really nice to Tristan Alvano last year. He's a Nebraska kid. I would like to believe it's going to work for him. He showed in high school, he's got the big leg. He can kick the 40 plus yard field goals. We know he can do that. It's not happening right now. And we know he dealt with an injury, I think as recently as fall camp, that could be part of it. But I have a feeling Coach Rhule is not going to be very patient about this. Because, and I wrote about this in my takeaways from the game article, there will be games where we don't have an 18-point lead. There will be games where 3 points will make the whole freaking off-season series is called Chasing Three because we lost by by 3 points so many times last year. That will matter.
Yeah,
like we cannot miss field goals. So I'm very curious to see if Coach Rhule comments on that this week. And I'm just curious to see. There's two other kickers on the roster. Only one of them. I keep forgetting the guy's name.
Johnny Hole.
Hole. That's it. John Hole.
I don't think anyone calls him Johnny. That's just me.
I love how you call him Johnny Hole, like your best friend. I'm curious to see if John Hole gets a chance or the other guy gets a chance. I don't know. Find a soccer player. I don't care. Not acceptable. Like, cannot keep happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say. Everything else with the program, the trajectory is through the roof, except for the freaking kicking game. So let's get it. Yeah. That's really frustrating. What else did you guys think?
That was actually mine, especially because there was actually some, for the most part, our punt returns were good, but there were a couple times where we were diving to catch the freaking ball on a punt, which makes me really, really nervous. I hate that.
Yes.
Can't be doing shit like that. The other thing is, and this isn't necessarily our team. I hope that like Colorado isn't even worse than they were last year. You know what I mean? Like, I hope that we're just that much better. I just hope that they haven't regressed and got even more worse than they were the year before. But you're right. I hope not. That's the only thing. So I think with field goals and special teams, TJ, I mean, unless Matt has something groundbreaking, I thought that was the main area of concern.
No, for me too, that was number one. Like sitting there, it's still in the stadium. Like, well, I'm going to talk about that as a concern.
Yeah, right.
But you talked about a little bit, TJ. I don't know if it was just we went really vanilla with the run game in the second half, but a little bit concerning. I think not that we weren't getting a little bit more of a push with the offensive line in the second half.
Yeah, and I think why that's concerning, Matt, is because all those guys have been there since like Vietnam. I mean, all those guys, all those offensive linemen are like sixth and seventh year guys, right? Yeah. I mean, they've been there forever.
Yeah.
And it feels like we keep watching this movie and we know what we're going to run into. We're going to be more talented than Illinois. We're going to be more talented than Rutgers, but they are going to be physical.
Yeah.
And I bet those, I haven't done any scouting yet, but I'm going to bet those D lines are pretty good and those defenses are pretty good. That's going to make a difference, right? So like, that's what drives me nuts is why aren't we further along? I mean, we got a ton of offensive linemen in the program. And again, the future's bright there, but it's frustrating to watch when it feels like we should be physically imposing our will on teams. Now, I just saw something on Twitter when we had our technical difficulties and we took a bathroom break, somebody making the point that they were like literally putting 9 and 10 in the box and like knowing that like they didn't have to defend the normal stuff because we were trying to run the clock. Maybe it's that simple.
Yeah.
And if teams are doing that in the second quarter, then Jalen Lloyd and Jamal Banks and Isaiah Nair just run right past everybody. So like maybe it's that simple. But I'm with you. It's a concern until proven otherwise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that could be it too. I mean, I didn't really watch the second half a ton. Watching it back on TV. In the stadium, it's a lot harder to see, okay, how many guys are they putting in the box, that type of thing. But that would make sense because it always seemed like there was a guy or two guys right in Dowdell's face right after he's getting the handoff. Right. So that could very well be it. And, if we're not up 25 or whatever points, 18 points, 28 points, like we're just going to take the top off the defense if they're going to try to do that in the second quarter, like you just said. So.
Right.
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. I think the game flow and the game situation led to a lot of that and just milk bleeding clock too. So we'll see. Hopefully the old hog mollies are got a little more fire. I mean, I think they do. We moved it pretty well in the first half.
Yeah. Last thing I had, guys, areas of concern, and this is actually a good thing. I think it's a sign of progress. But Coach Rhule talked after the game that we're still learning to play with a lead. And so the question that comes from me on that is what happens when it's a 3-point lead or a 6-point lead, right? Yeah. You can mess around a little bit with a 28-point lead or an 18-point lead. but I want to see how these guys respond. And I look, winning every week, we're going to be at least 3-0 now. Like, I know we're going to beat Northern Iowa next week. Kirk Herbstreit says we're going to start 7-0. Every time this happens and you develop this new muscle of winning, it builds confidence and you get better. And this is how we talk, building a culture and building a winning program and building it. So like, it's all going to build on itself. I hate using them as an example because I hate them, but the 2019 Minnesota team had three really weak non-conference opponents. I remember they barely beat South Dakota State. I don't remember the other two, but I remember that for whatever reason. I think I was traveling for work and I was at a bar with a friend watching, and I was like, oh, they're going to lose to South Dakota State, and they barely won. But that team ended up, I think, like 11-2. And what happened in those three non-conference games is they won, they built up confidence, they got on a roll, and off they went, boom. And it was just one of those seasons. And so hopefully that keeps happening with us and things keep going our way, et cetera, et cetera. But that's kind of an open question right now, is playing with a lead when we're not completely dominating a team and we're up three with a quarter and a half to go, or we're up six in the fourth quarter and the other team's driving or something like that. I think that's, you know, just one of the, those are just going to be things we're going to do it. We just, it's like, you have to do it for the first time in a long time. And we're taking a lot of steps toward that. Right.
Yeah.
Toward
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Right, we got to do corn cobs. You guys got anything else to say before corn cobs?
No.
I did have some commentary about the in-game experience.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. I'm sorry.
We want to do that before corn cobs.
We
or
do.
After.
And I meant to ask you about that sooner, Mattio, and I'm sorry I didn't do that.
Oh, no. I didn't want to interrupt the flow of the podcast and how we kind of do it with
that's already been interrupted with our technical glitch. So just get it.
You know what, Chad? You can go straight to hell. Straight to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. No, I just wanted to
do not stop
purgatory. And I wanted to mention something too. It just never really felt like the right time. But I think that as far as the in-game experience, number one, like last night was probably the loudest Husker game I've ever been to. Beautiful. I was at 2014 Miami. I was at 2016 Oregon. In recent history, those are kind of the two I think that we most often think of.
I was at both of those, by the way. I was not there last night.
Yeah. Great moments. 2010 Missouri, when they came to town after beating number one Oklahoma. That was a good one. That was loud. One of my favorite Husker games ever. Roy Hailoub broke the single game rushing record. This was probably the loudest Husker game I've been to in my life. And I think I probably don't even need to say it. It's a combo of it being Colorado and Coach Prime and Shadur and Shiloh and all that. That was an angry, a lot of pent up frustration Memorial Stadium crowd last night. I told my wife, you know, I had my 12-year-old son there. He's heard some colorful language in his life. Not a lot from me, but occasionally. There were more F words at that. There were more F bombs at that Husker game than I ever remember in my entire life. Some directed at Colorado, some at Shadur, and some just at the referees.
Maybe some at the occasional Nebraska play call, perhaps.
Yeah. The student section I thought was outstanding. I kind of liked the FCU chant as they came out for warmups, and then they did it again once during the game. Normally I'd be like, okay guys, like, come on, this is Nebraska. We're supposed to be the greatest fans in the country, and this isn't what we do. But for Colorado, we'll let it slide. Like, that's my opinion. Yeah. F Colorado. So good on the student section. I thought they did a great job, but I'm sitting there in my section and I'm looking around and I'm like, one of the things I love about going to any live sporting event is you've got all the different types of fans, right? So I'm in North Stadium, Section 37. And a few seats down actually is a younger brother, one of our buddies, Ronnie's younger brother, Ben, sure. Sits Shout a few seats down. So I see Ben.
Ben Ron, friend of the program.
Friend of the program, Ben Ron.
Yeah.
And then
all the Rons.
We love all the Rons. Yeah. Amazing family. Yeah. So in between Ben's seats and mine, there's three seats, and when it's a big game, it's these three guys, and they're probably in their mid 60s to maybe 70, early 70s. but they're hilarious. They're, and you can tell these guys have probably been to hundreds of games, Husker games, whatever. And, you know, they never get too low. They never get too high. They're always just the right amount of drunk. Like, they're not obnoxious. they rarely cuss. They've done it before. The guy next to me shows up with this red, like, Herbie Husker, like almost flat-brimmed, like, cowboy hat. And and a actual cob of corn in his hand. He's got, and he comes, he finally, about midway through the first quarter, he turns to me and he goes, "Sorry about this damn cowboy hat. I'm like, I got one for me and one for my wife. I don't know when I'm supposed to wear this thing if I don't wear it now." So we got these guys, right? They're pros. And then you have the guy right behind us. It's the second Husker game that he's ever been to. He's wearing a t-shirt of a fictitious university that Waterboy Bobby Boucher played for. He's like randomly quoting Waterboy throughout the game. He's getting way too upset over penalties or things that aren't even that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. Like, and then there's a guy two rows back who I didn't hear a peep from the whole first half. Okay. Didn't hear the guy until it starts to get a little bit uneasy. It's 28-3, 28-10, and we're running the ball, and Dowdell's getting tackled, and he's going, "Why do they keep giving the ball to Dowdell? He never gets any yards." And I want to turn around to the guy and say, "Hey, buddy, did you watch the first half?" Yeah. So I just
have you been here all night?
I'm sitting around making these observations of how funny it is that you've got the pros, you've got the amateurs, you got the negative norms. It's all good. In the grand scheme of things, you know, you're at a big game. You're going to get people there that aren't as knowledgeable about football. They're there because it's a big game. They aren't interested in going to the Northern Iowa game or whatever it might be, UTEP, whatever it might be. But there's something magical about that, where you've got that mix of people, the people that know football and know what they're doing. They've been to hundreds of games. You got people who've only been to a couple. And I just sitting there, I'm making these observations of all these different Husker fans. And I just thought it was really cool that you get all these people in one spot, all these different types of people. Well, and I think it's hilarious too. You got these,
yeah.
I love the pro fan, like the guys that have been around the block. They know what they're looking at. Yeah. They know the game. Well, those guys are the best to sit next to, by the way.
I totally agree. Zoom out though, too, to your first point about being up there with 2014 Miami and 2016 Oregon.
Yes.
I was not in the house, like I mentioned. It looked unbelievable on television. Everyone I've talked to who was in the house said it was incredible. I'm hearing, like, as common fans know, I don't live in the state. I grew up in Lincoln. I don't live in the state now. Like, my in-laws who live close by are like, they like their Oregon Ducks, but they don't watch every Nebraska game by any means. They're like, that looked unbelievable. Like, my father-in-law was like, it looks so, how does Colorado even play with that noise? It looked incredible. You know, and I'm getting texts from people I knew in DC and in Chicago and other places that I've lived over the years that are not Nebraska fans that are like, oh, that crowd looks incredible. Like, the stadium looks unbelievable. I mean, it was just so cool. And it's like, yes, those are my people, you know? And like that, I mean, that's talk about, I mean, I guess that's one more thing. Let's talk about a big picture takeaway: reclaiming home field advantage. Yeah. How many times have teams come into Memorial Stadium in recent years and beat us when they absolutely had no right to? And if we keep winning like this, people are going to keep showing up, whether it's a big game or not.
Well, yeah, it's kind
of
like
we always sell out, but we've kind of been critical of the crowd of like, well, people are too quiet or there's this or that. People are going to like, we're going to reclaim the home field advantage.
Well, you forget what a big game there feels like, because of how bad we've been, we haven't played in many of those. Right. So I think, and now you're seeing, we've got some momentum going. We got Matt Rhule, and for the most part, most everybody that follows college football in the United States of America has a pretty good opinion of Matt Rhule as a college football coach.
Yeah.
Okay. They know what he did at Temple. They know what he did at Baylor, and they're starting to see him do it in Nebraska. And I think, For the real college football diehards, I think they love it, because they know what we know, that we are a blue blood. I try to say that.
College football is better when Nebraska's good.
Absolutely. And real a real college football fan would echo that sentiment, right? But then you start seeing, like, okay, Barstool Sports is there and Bustin' with the Boys, you know, kind of one of the same.
Pat McAfee.
Pick Six Previews, who I follow on Twitter and have for years, was at the game. And he was talking about how unbelievable it was. Like, oh, yeah. There's all these people that have been to tons of college football games, but we've been flying under the radar because we haven't been good enough to get the spotlight for a night like last night.
Yep.
And we had it last night and we took advantage, damn it. Like, how good does that feel that we're on the national stage playing Prime and his boys, and we just took it to him and kicked their ass?
We just punched him in the mouth.
It felt so good. And then to have people witness, even if it's on TV, and see what and think to themselves, even watching at home, my God, that looks like a great place to watch a college football game.
Yes.
Like, that's a bucket list thing. So
Absolutely.
It's fun to get, for us common fans, for us Husker fans, to start getting noticed a little bit too. Like, yeah, we know we're blue bloods, but as fans, I think we've been cheated, man. Like, this is an unbelievable place to watch a college football game. And we kind of got spoiled for years. We know that, but man, it feels good to have it mean something, have those fans going nuts in that stadium and have a low level field rush. I mean, it was good. And I told my wife, you know, our stadium doesn't really lend itself that well to a field rush. The students got to come down out of their section, go across, walk across, and then they get to the fence where the field starts, and either the gate's got to be open or they're got to hop the fence. It was like a slow trickle of hundreds of fans, slowly. Finally, it did look impressive when, you know, probably it was the peak amount of people on the field, but that was fun to witness. It was fun to witness.
Well, thank God there were I don't want to take us too far off track. We got to do the corn cause, but I saw the pictures after the game of, like, there were like four or five people like locked arms around the base of the goalposts. Like,
yeah,
like we're not letting people tear down the goalposts. And I just wanted, like, they're just doing their job. God bless them. But like, who signed up for that?
Yeah. All right.
Like,
we need the goalposts. And then goalpost security, get down there now.
And also who, like, in the decision-making capacity was like, yeah, let's just have like five young people standing arm in arm around the goalpost. No one will tear it down then. Like, I mean, of course Nebraskans are nice and they didn't tear it down, but it's like, yeah, let's not have all it would have taken would have like one bulky, like, you know, security guard looking or police officer looking guy. Instead, let's have like a bunch of people in cargo shorts standing around locked arm in arm around the goalpost.
Yeah. God. Let's put these ROTC guys around the goalpost.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just have a few ROTC guys. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Okay. Corn cobs. Who did we start with last week? Does anybody remember?
I don't remember. We gave a unanimous one to Dylan.
Yeah.
But then I don't remember who went first.
It was unanimous and it was beautiful. Geoff, why don't you start us off? Because you're also beautiful with your mustache.
Thank you. Yeah, and you're welcome again, Husker Nation, for the victory because of the mustache. Tommy Hill. Tommy Hill gets my vote just because of the pick six. Game-changing play. Hasn't happened in a few years. A defensive touchdown. So Tommy Hill gets my corn cob. He's the man.
Love it, Jeff. You want me next?
Mario.
I'm going with Mekhi Bayer. Second week in a row, he's tied for the team lead in tackles. He's leading the team in tackles on the season. The guy called his shot earlier in the week, and he said he basically said he was so jacked up and it's going to take two guys to block him. And when he runs down on kickoff, he's going to murder somebody. And he did. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah,
he came down on kickoff and he absolutely just murdered a guy. But then he's like, he was all over the field, guys. Like, it felt like either he was making a solo stop or he was in on the play somehow near the ball every single snap. And I think it's a testament to this coaching staff that a guy like that, who'd really, we'd only seen on special teams, started, I think he had a little bit of playing time last year in Coach White's defense, but he's playing like at an all conference caliber level. The fourth down stop he made in the first quarter.
Oh, that was so huge.
Outstanding. The way he made that read and met that running back right in the damn hole was fantastic. I mean, I'm going to talk about Levante Davis. Like, that was Levante esque.
Oh, yeah.
The way he met that guy in the hole. So Mekhi Bayer, dude, keep balling out, man. We know you're listening. keep going, dude, whatever you're doing. And he's going to have to sit out. Northern Iowa.
Yeah,
because he got kicked out for targeting.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm glad it's Northern Iowa. Yeah,
exactly. But you know, it'll be good to give him a rest. We got plenty of guys to give reps to. But
well, man. And Matty Oates, like, it's really encouraging. To your point, the biggest concern I had going into the season was that we lost Luke Reimer and Nick Henrich, two stalwart guys at the linebacker position who had been there for years and accounted for hundreds of tackles in Nebraska football history. And now there's balloons coming up.
Balloons. It's a sign. Balloons are back. Balloons are back. Now they're on the Common Fan podcast.
This all should have been red. They're supposed to be red, Zoom.
They're supposed to be red.
But suddenly we haven't lost a step. Mekhi Bayer and John Bullock.
They might be better. The linebacker crew might be better. MJ Sherman. You got MJ Sherman basically and Bayer for Henrich and Reimer. Like Reimer was a dog. And Henrich was a good solid linebacker too.
Yeah.
Wasn't going to make a lot of game-changing plays, let's be real.
Yeah.
Reimer could, but it seemed like his last year and a half he was dinged up a lot too.
Yeah. Well, and I just like I think it like Tony White gets young guys in early and often.
Mm-hmm.
They're clearly very good at developing guys and giving guys a chance and whatever. So like I think John Bullock is a senior area. I think he's done after this year.
Yeah.
I think Bayer will be back for at least one more. But it just kind of gives me hope that whoever's next in line is just going to fill in and step up. I mean, yeah. I try not to think too often about how senior, like Nash and Ty and John Bullock
guilty
and Tommy Hill, like
I've already been thinking
a lot of the playmakers, like the defense could take like half a step back next year because we lose so many senior contributors. And that's just something I don't want to think about until the season's
right.
over.
Let's live in
I
the
just
moment,
want to
TJ.
Talk about that. Yeah.
I just want to enjoy it right now. Yeah. 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 But the point being is the reason for optimism is they rotate in so many guys on defense and getting guys to so many reps. They're developing them now for the future and they've shown they can do it on defense. So that's super exciting. And Bayer is a great example of that is where I'm going with all that. John Bullock for me, for a corn cob, John Bullock is certainly deserving of one. I think he's going to get one this season as well, but I wanted to do every level of the defense. So, we did a defensive back, we did a linebacker. So I'm going to go Nash Hutmaker. Another thing I would say is I feel like for just about every one of our episodes, Nash and Ty Robinson are probably going to be worthy of a corn cob. I mean, those guys are such beasts on the defensive line. Yeah. And we're so lucky to have them. And Nash had three tackles and one sack, but he and Ty were so disruptive. And so was Jamari Butler. And so was
Prince Will,
Uman Mielen, and so many of these guys. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you love the older guys who stuck around. Nash decided to Nash and Ty both probably could be in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And they decided to come back. And it's making a difference on this Nebraska team. It's helping this team turn a corner, and you just absolutely love to see it. And so corn cob to the polar bear, Nash Hutmaker.
Yes.
I just can't wait to, I mean, guys, this defense is, we're just going to eat.
So good.
It's going to eat some Big Ten offenses alive.
Oh,
yeah. It really is. And I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be so fun, guys. So fun.
All right.
It is fun. We're already having fun.
Good We're time. Having so much fun. This is so, so much fun. Better than last year.
This is so,
so much
fun.
Better than last year.
Yeah.
This is so much better than the last 7 years.
Oh, God. And I can't wait for the Chasing Three for this Colorado game to come out.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. The Nebraska Cornhuskers defeat the Colorado Buffaloes and 28-10. And guys, one more thing. Sorry, I think we talked about this on the pod. I've written about it. But Husker fans really believe that these are two programs going in opposite directions. And they believe that Matt Rhule's program is built on substance. It's built on a strong foundation, a house built on rock, so to speak, versus, you know, Coach Prime's, you know, culture of flash.
Culture of clicks.
Yeah.
And all the nonsense. And that was proven true. I mean, we'll see. We'll see where it all goes. We'll see how they both end up in their careers at Nebraska and Colorado. But I'm so glad that we have Matt Rhule. I'm so glad. Like what a great hire. I hate to give Trevor Kendall Albert's credit, but what a great hire. Even looking at what Luke Fickle's doing at Wisconsin. I really wanted Luke Fickle when we were hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll figure it out and they're winning. They've won, but they looks a little rough there. The first
2 weeks. 27-13. They beat South Dakota. Yeah.
we'll kind of see how that
team.
How that comes down. And we don't have any room to talk when it comes to Wisconsin. But point being, I'm so glad that we have Matt Rhule. We have a builder.
Yeah.
He was exactly the guy that we needed at the time. Let's not like claim any national championships quite yet, but things are moving in the right direction, guys.
Yes.
Let me just say, I'm starting to look at flights for, you know, December, whatever that December weekend is when the playoff games are. I'm just going to say, it's a joke. I've had a few
pumps
beers
and breaks.
Anybody watching on YouTube can see I've had a few beers. I'm joking a little bit, but
it's the Colorado Victory Pod. We're going to have a couple of beers.
Yeah, it's a Colorado Victory Pod.
Hey, speaking of which, you will notice that I haven't drank any Coors Light during this pod. There's a reason for that, because I don't want to give Colorado, the state of Colorado, any credit. So I went with whiskey and Yingling is what I went with tonight. So,
yeah, that was good thinking, Jeff.
You're welcome, Husker Nation.
Coors Light is owned by Miller Coors, though, which is headquartered in Milwaukee. So
I don't care. Taste the Rockies, TJ.
I feel fine about it. I was going to make one other point, Jeff. Damn it. All right, whatever. Sorry. That's okay. We've gone on too long.
You've said enough. You've said it all.
We've all said enough. Huskers are 2-0. Northern Iowa comes to town on Saturday. Things are looking. Oh, I think I know. Forgive me if I'm repeating myself. Herb Street on game day predicted that we're 7-0 going into Columbus to play Ohio State on October 26th.
Damn.
That's been kind of floated out there. I didn't want to let myself believe it for the longest time. Yep. You know, we're going to be 3-0. And then it gets real interesting. We got Illinois at Purdue, Rutgers at Indiana. So stuff's going to get real interesting here real quick, guys.
Hey, speaking of game day, did you see Desmond Howard was the only one that didn't pick Nebraska?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did. Good job, Desmond.
Yeah, I can't. Absolutely. Don't get me started on him.
Should we just have the 1997 discussion right now? I guess we'll do that
next offseason.
We'll do that another time. Matthew, Jeffrey, always a pleasure, boys. Common fans, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Your Nebraska Cornhuskers are as good as they've been in a long time. And things are looking up. I've got more optimism than I've had since 2009, boys. I've got more optimism than I've had since the Adrian Martinez Kansas State game on Thursday Night Football in 2009.
Taylor Martinez.
So Taylor Martinez. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Taylor Martinez. In 2009.
Taylor Martinez.
I was picturing Taylor when I said it. ESPN's done this as much as I've done it.
Yeah.
Okay. We will talk to you. Stick around. The view from the Blandstands will be out later this week. So you'll get another episode of the Common Fans. We'll talk a little Colorado. We'll preview Northern Iowa. We'll get Evan Bland's take on all the latest of the day. And other than that, guys, go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Good.
GBR
good vibes. Good.
For life.
Go ahead. You can close it out.
No, you didn't say it. You're going to
think
you're going
to
say
it. I was going to, but
as always, Common Fans, GBR for life.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.